How important is truth in journalism? Can it also be fiction, is what I mean? Tom Wolfe was one of the founders of what was called the New Journalism Movement in the 60s and 70s, and then he moved into fiction with Bonfire of the Vanities, a hugely best-selling novel about Wall Street, which he considered to be a piece of journalism. Well, now he has published a long-awaited new nonfiction novel called Back to Blood, which is set in the Cuban immigrant culture of Miami. Steve Paulson got him to begin with a reading.
Camilo and his father, Nestor's grandfather, were country boys from Camagüey. Nestor's grandfather had visions of getting away from the life of cutting cane and mucking out stables and humping plows. So he and Camilo stealthily built a crude dinghy. They stole two big cafe umbrellas to use as sails and set out one night for Florida. They nearly died 100 times at least, from sunstroke, dehydration, starvation, storms, towering waves, currents gone amok, winds gone dead, and God knows what else, before reaching Key West 12 days later, all at the point of death.
That is wonderful. Why did you want to write a novel set in Miami?
My real plan was to write a novel about immigration, because this was at a time when there were lots of great stories about how people got into this country as immigrants, and there were so many stories of people who died trying to do that. And so I was sort of looking around, and then I heard that Miami is the only city in the world in which people from another country, I'm talking about the Cubans now, people from another country with a different language and an entirely different culture took over our entire metropolitan area through the voting machine.
Which is astonishing. I mean, just what such a short period of time.
Oh, it's just, you know, barely a generation.
So this is interesting. I mean, basically what you're saying is you're bringing your old journalistic background into what you do as a fiction writer. I mean, sort of taking those journalistic instincts and saying, well, here's a great story. Let's do it as a novel.
Oh, when people criticize my work as journalistic, I take it as praise. Oh, yeah, of course it's journalistic. I'm so thankful for working 10 years on a newspaper as a reporter, because one of the things you find out is how much you can learn about the outside world if you are willing to walk up to total strangers and say, you have some information that interests me very much. In fact, I'd like to have that information. In fact, I must have that information. And it's amazing how well that works and how easy it is to do.
So did you also continue to wear your white suits when you were sort of walking around the streets of Miami?
No. I never wear a white suit out on an assignment because it's like, you know, a white suit, let's face it, it's a little bit of showboating involved. But I wasn't fit. I gave up trying to really fit in a long time ago when I was covering a stock car driver, a NASCAR driver named Junior Johnson. It was in western North Carolina, and I knew that I'd be going to races. And I figured, well, you kind of dress down for automobile race. So I wore a green tweed suit with a blue button-down shirt and a black knit necktie. I had a fedora from Borsellino in Italy. And I said, well, now I'm ready for the races. Well, I'm not kidding about this. I've been there for about 3 days, and Junior Johnson was a nice guy. He was a real country boy in the best sense. He said, Tom, I don't mean to say anything, but, you know, all my friends are saying, who is that little green man following you? And that kind of taught me that it was no use my trying to fit in. I might as well have come in a tuxedo as wearing that suit. I was the only suit and tie in 50 miles, I think, in any direction. Now I come on as the man from Mars. You know, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm really interested. And I mean it. Huh. I'm really interested. Hey, what is going on?
Well, it's so interesting hearing you describe how you approach doing your research because, I mean, you're still a journalist, but you're writing fiction now, which does make me wonder, why don't you still write nonfiction? I mean, why did you switch to writing novels?
Well, I meant to write one novel just to show that I could do it because I was getting ready to write a nonfiction novel, and every single chapter was going to be based on reporting. So I was in the office of Harper's Magazine, and while I was standing around, I got a little nosy, and I went into David Halberstam's office. He wasn't there. And on his desk was an invitation to a party at the home of Leonard Bernstein for the Black Panthers. The Bernstein house was a duplex at 895 Park Avenue. I said, my God, the Black Panthers are visiting Park Avenue? I've got to see this. So I assumed that there was a phone number, that if I called that number, there'd be somebody on some committee writing down acceptances. So I called up and said, I'm Tom Wolfe, I accept. And sure enough, it was a security check at the entrance to the apartment. My name was on the list. So That was one of the most bizarre events I've ever seen in my life. But the problem was, in terms of my nonfiction novel, as soon as I saw this event, the old fire bell rang again. And I had to put this into print as soon as possible. I couldn't wait for this nonfiction novel. What am I talking about?
Now, there's one other subculture that I want to talk about, one that you skewer in your book, and that's the modern art world. Why are you so intrigued by the business and culture of contemporary art?
My belief is that the entire art world, as it's now constituted, is controlled by maybe 3,000 people in or near New York City who completely determine what is considered great art. And here's what we've come up with today, and that going that route. There are two new forms of art, new to me anyway. One is called no-hands art. And that's a good example is Jeff Koons, who, he builds 40, he doesn't build them, he doesn't touch them, 45-foot-high bunny rabbits.
When you say he doesn't do them, he has his assistants do them.
Yeah, he has his elves do it. He also does these balloon blow-ups that people can do at carnivals. You twist the balloon this way and that, you can end up with something like a dog. He has these done, and then he has them covered in silver or gold. And they sell for, extraordinary sums. We're talking about, in some cases, more than $1 million for the toy balloon. He also had himself photographed with a famous Italian prostitute. I think she was famous because she had been the center of a scandal in Italy. And he had some photographs taken of the two of them having at it at about any way you could possibly penetrate any orifice in the human body. And these photographs, which he didn't take and never touched, were sent to elves in Switzerland and turned into three-dimensional glass objects, also bringing millions. These are the sides of contemporary art that, to me, make great journalism. I have never passed an aesthetic judgment, not one, on anything in the art world that I have written about. I just have described exactly what's going on. My attitude in writing about it is to say, hey, look at that, and look at that one over, look at that one. And in a country like this, things are so bizarre. I mean, I love it. You're not going to run out of fabulous material. I think if you settle in anywhere in this country for 30 days, the most miserable little town you ever heard of, and you're going to find great stories. Just if you leave the building, a lot of writers don't understand that, if you leave the building and look around and take notes or record conversations, that's all that it takes. And reporting is, there's no skill to reporting. It's very simple.
Well, you know what they say. It takes a master to make something look simple. Tom Wolfe has written more than a dozen books, including The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test, The Right Stuff, Bonfire of the Vanities, and now Back to Blood. Steve Paulson talked with him.